and welcome to the podcast, When She Speaks. I'm your host, Betty Chapman, and I'm delighted and honored that you joined us today. We're going to have some girlfriend table talk, so I promise you'll walk away feeling motivated and inspired by words of wisdom to help you develop personally, professionally, and spiritually. So let's get to it. I am super excited to introduce you to my When She Speaks guest and co-host. She's a wife, a mom, a community leader, and in her spare time, she's the Director of Talent and Organizational Development at AFNI Incorporated. Please welcome my friend, Ms. Heather Drennan.
Oh, thanks, Betty. I'm excited to be here. Thanks so much for this opportunity.
It is my pleasure. Thank you. I'm excited. So anytime that I get to work with my friends, it makes me happy.
Me too.
We're going to jump right in. You are a wealth of knowledge and information, and there's so much I can talk to you about, but we have a limited amount of time. So I want to start out just by asking you, I'm sure all the women out there want to know this. I want to know because I'm still working on it. Tell us how you have that healthy work-life balance, Heather. You are so busy, and you are excellent at all of it. Can you tell us how do you do it?
Well, I would say that I am like all parents. I'm still figuring this one out. And, you know, it changes. It changes from year to year. It changes from season to season based on what the kids have going on and what I have going on at the office. I don't mind sharing. I have a few things that I'm committed to, much like you. You know, I kind of have a few rules of engagement that I follow to keep things balanced. But, you know, I kind of look at that work-life balance as a little bit of a misnomer. There's a lot of bleed over from your work mm-hmm. into your home and into, you know, from the home life into the work. So here are the things I commit to. I leave the office at 5:30 every day, and I don't check email again until the kids are in bed. When I'm with the kids, I try to be very cognizant of being present. I don't want them to see me on my phone all the time. I don't want them to see me on the laptop. And so I really focus on being present in front of them. And my hope is that they'll model that. They'll see that and they'll model it as they get older. And, you know, we really, at home, we talk about the blessing that is the job. We talk about that my job really is a blessing that God's given us and that I work hard at it to honor that blessing. And that blessing allows us to have a fulfilled life and to give back to the community and to give back to church. So we really see it as being very cyclical.
Oh, I love that. So I am taking notes. One of those rules of engagement, leaving the office at 5:30. Luckily, my office is my home, so that won't be too hard to do. But I think that walking away is what I'm taking from it, making sure that you do that so that you're present. That is really good, Heather. I absolutely love that. I don't think you'll mind me sharing, because you are somewhat of an open book, that you guys have a blended family.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that. I love to watch and I love to hear stories. Tell us about how you guys approach that and how you're doing it so successfully. And that is what it looks like to me, that you're doing a great job at that. Tell us how you worked at it, or what did you do? What was your rule of engagement for that?
So, Betty, yes, absolutely. The family is bananas. It's absolutely bananas. The first rule that we really follow in our blended family is to ditch the unrealistic expectations. When we started down this path, we kind of expected our family to mesh together like the Brady Bunch. Everyone happy, everyone smiling from their own little box, everyone getting along like peas in a pod, the picture of domestic bliss. And that's just not realistic. It's not realistic for a blended family, but it's also not realistic for the perfect nuclear family. Kids are going to bicker. Teens are going to slam doors. The dog is going to puke on the rug just as the neighbor pops by. And, you know, I'm going to realize in that exact moment that I haven't combed my hair yet today. The thing is that expectations, they lead to disappointment. When you're trying to meet unrealistic expectations or impress the neighbors with your perfect family story, what you're really doing is you're failing yourself and you're failing your kids. So instead, what we try to do is we try to look at each of our children as their own person. We try to steal an hour here or there to get some one-on-one time with the kids and with each other. And you know, we try to remember that we're raising a little human who's going
Right.
to someday have a family of their own, you know. So I would recommend two things. I would recommend, if you're trying to figure out how to connect with your child or your spouse, I would recommend the 5 love languages. You can take a free assessment on 5lovelanguages.com. And just to give you a sneak peek, the 5 love languages are gifts and quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service, and touch. And
right.
It's applicable to the spouse. It's applicable to the kids. I think you're familiar with the 5 love languages, right, Betty?
I am. Mine is touch.
Yeah. Yeah. and then, you know, I have one child that is also touch. He needs those snuggles. And I have 2 children that it's all about the words of affirmation. And then I have one that's the quality time. And then, of course, I have one that's gifts.
Right.
So that makes it a little more challenging because you got to balance those gifts between all the kids.
Right.
Another great resource for the blended family is the Smart Step Family series by Ron Deal. And you can get information on the books and events that he hosts at smartstepfamilies.com. So again, just closing that out, just try to cut back on those unrealistic expectations because they will get you every time.
That is all good information. And I know that blended families are becoming more and more of the norm versus, and I'm using air quotes, traditional families. But
mm-hmm.
That is all good information and great resources. Thank you for sharing, Heather.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll switch gears just for a moment and talk about, I could spend all day here on the personal side of it with you because I love hearing your stories. One of your many talents, you are a brilliant storyteller, so I absolutely love that. But I want to shift a little bit and talk about the work side because of having the pleasure of working with you in the past, I get to witness your brilliance. I got to witness how great you are at that servant leadership and being that champion for your team. And I'll give you an example. When I say champion for your team, you always had your team's back. You were always displaying their skills and talent and that look what my team has done. And I don't think everyone, that does not come naturally to everyone, and everyone is not good at that who are in leadership roles. Can you tell us, does that come naturally to you? Is that something that you worked on or continuously work on? How do you do it?
Well, when I think back to my first role, when my first leadership role, I was in my mid-20s, and I was not good at it at all. But I do believe that leadership is one of God's gifts. And because God gives us that gift, we have to really make a conscientious effort to embrace it and to continue to develop it. I view servant leadership really as somebody who shares the power. They put the needs of the employees first, and they help people to develop and to perform at their highest possible level. And if you're doing that for your employees are going to bring their best effort, and they're going to make your job easier. So it really plays off of each other. I try to empower the people that I lead, but at the same time, I have to be humble enough to know that they're going to bring us some, you know, they're going to bring me and the company skills and ideas and innovation that I wouldn't have been able to come up with on my own. Mm-hmm. As you know, Betty, I'm a huge subscriber to situational leadership. And that model is all about adjusting your direction and your support to adapt to your people. I'm sure that you remember in John chapter 3, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, and mm-hmm. Peter really balks at this. He doesn't want to be served. But what Jesus tells Peter is that by washing his feet, he is giving him an example that the rest should follow. And that, mm-hmm. to me, that's servant leadership. It's being willing to wash the feet of others because they're in turn going to go out and they're going to do the same.
That is excellent because there is no greater example, you're right, of servant leadership than Jesus Christ himself. So I love that you use that reference and that example. That is perfect. Talk to us a little bit about building a brand for yourself. Talk about that person who is perhaps just starting out and some of the things that they can do as far as continuous development, just building that brand for themselves moving forward.
Yeah. So one of the things that I love about my job is that I get opportunities to work with and mentor young people. And I feel like that is one of the greatest callings and the greatest gifts that an older person can have, is that opportunity to work with those young professionals. There's a book called Brag, The Art of Tooting Your Own Horn Without Blowing It. It's by Peggy Clough. And I would encourage any young person to check out that book. I believe a couple of things about building your personal brand. First of all, I would say start from a place of authenticity. Who are you at your core? Who do you want to be known as? What's important to you? What's your value system? And really build your personal brand around the authentic you. There are so many experiences that we each go through, and so many miles that we've all walked throughout our lives. You never know what another person is, where they've been, or what they're carrying with them. But if you can really start to think about those miles that you've put on, those walks that you've had, and what were the lessons that you learned, and how did those lessons make you better? How do they improve you and what you offer to others? And start to keep a log of that. Start to write those things down and track that somewhere. All of those experiences are a part of your brand. And then for those people that are moving into different career paths or, starting that career journey, really having those things written down and tracked for yourself will enable you to talk about your brand and to showcase the authentic you. So I would encourage you to check out the book. There's a number of cool tools within the book, and begin with that authentic self. That's what I would say about professional brand.
That is perfect. I have that book, and I agree with you 100%, and I love your advice of writing it down, especially if you are a little bit more seasoned than others, and if you have to go back and reflect what you've done, how you contributed, just look at some of your overall accomplishments. That's a perfect way to do it. So I absolutely love having that log or that record that you can go back and refer to. So that's really good, Heather. I love to think about my younger self. So this is kind of to wrap it all up and tie it up with a bow for everyone. If you could send maybe a text message to yourself 10, maybe 15 years to your younger self, what would you say? What would that text message read to your younger self?
I think that it goes back to when we were talking about the family life, and as we first began this journey of blended families, my text message to myself would be no unrealistic expectations. I think in life, especially with social media and all the different ways that people showcase themselves, we have this tendency to create this unrealistic level of keeping up with the Joneses. And it's not real. Reality TV is not actual reality.
Right.
Yeah. And so I would say no unrealistic expectations. Don't put them on yourself. Don't put them on your kids. Don't put them on your peers. Everybody is just doing the best that they can to get through this life, and we just got to take care of each other. And no competing, just take care of each other.
Well, our time went by way too fast. I have so much more that I want to talk to you about. Will you come back and be my co-host again? Today went by way too fast, so we have to do it again.
I would love that. That would be so much fun.
Yay, thank you. I am going to hold you to that. So thank you very much again for being here today. Your words of wisdom, your advice, everything. It definitely inspired me, and I know it's going to inspire everyone else who gets the privilege to listen to this. So you've already promised me that you're going to come back again and chat. I'm going to hold you to that. You have an open invitation here at When She Speaks.
Thanks for considering me for this. It was very sweet of you.
Well, there you have it, ladies. My hope for you is that you are not only motivated and inspired, but I hope you will move to action.